1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 5 at this time. We may venture down a few verses after this, but for right now, let's just read verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've allowed us into your house this morning. We thank you that you promised that you would meet with us here if we gathered together in your name. And it is our prayer that our hearts would be seeking you. We just ask for your blessings upon us. We ask for your blessings upon your word. And we hope that you are pleased with what we have done today as far as the singing. And once again, we know that it is an issue of the heart. It is not an issue of the quality of the songs, the quality of the music, the quality of the voices. It is what is done in our heart. And we just ask that you would make our hearts right and that we would truly seek to praise you, that we would truly be grateful for your blessings, that we would truly be seeking you. We ask today that your word would come forth from these lips, that you would give me the words to say. Use me at this time. Humble me that I might be used. We ask today that if there is any loss, that they would turn from their self-reliance. They would turn from their sins. And they would turn from their pride. Bow their hearts to you. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name, that you might receive the honor, the praise, and the glory in you alone. Amen.
Amen.
Preaching this morning, pride. Pride is still a sin. They have designated this month as Pride Month. Pride Month. And we know the connotations of what they're saying. And the Bible says a lot about pride. This sermon this morning will not do justice to the sheer volume of passages that the Bible directs on pride. But as much as the Bible says on pride, none of it is good. We are told in our society that we are to be proud. To be proud of ourselves, to be proud of our actions, to be proud of things. And honestly, there are so many things that we are told to be proud of, and that people are proud of, they really don't have any control of. They say, well, you know, be a proud American. Be proud. I had nothing to do with the fact that I'm an American. Now, some people have come to this country illegally. They've come to the country legally, and they've went through the process, and they've become Americans. But as for myself, I was born in America. So I can't be proud that I'm an American. I can't be proud of myself for being American. I can't be proud of my race. Say, oh, be proud of your race. I had nothing to do with my race. Now, I'm not ashamed of my race. I'm not ashamed to be American. Some of us would want us to be ashamed. Once again, I had nothing to do with either of those things. Sometimes they decorate the word proud and they change it to self-esteem to make it sound not offensive. But anymore, they don't even care if it's offensive. We live among proud people. And by the way, this sermon that I'm preaching this morning, you know, a lot of times you can say, well, you know, that doesn't affect me. That doesn't apply to me. You know, you preach on Mother's Day and you preach to the women, and the men say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. Or the men or the women on Father's Day, that doesn't apply to me. This applies to you. We all have issues with pride. We all struggle with pride. We all succumb to pride. As a matter of fact, if this sermon I preached this morning turns out to be a good sermon, if I walk away from the pulpit and feel like I did a good job, my head is going to swell up like a balloon. We're all in danger of pride. That's why the Bible says so much about it. And once again, it is never good. I've been chastised for putting myself down. One of the reasons I put myself down is I am fighting pride all the time. I am trying not to let that devil swallow me up. Because I am so easily proud over such little things. Anybody not have a problem with pride, raise your hand now. You passed the test, all right. We all have a problem with pride. It's never good. As a matter of fact, the Bible here says that God resisteth the proud. In other words, we are at odds with God. We are at odds with God whenever we have pride. Whenever we think highly of ourselves. The Bible says there are none that doeth good. No, not one. It says that we are to be clothed in humility. Why? Because God giveth grace to the humble. Let God exalt you. Let God raise you up. The safest place you can be is on your knees. I saw a post that I had made, I don't know, a year or two ago. And really, I don't know why I made this, but I don't even know if I came up with this. Usually, if I do, I'll give. Or if I don't, I give someone else credit for it. But what I had posted was, it's impossible to stumble when you're on your knees and humble. It actually sounds like an Adrian Rogers thing. So it sounds like something he would say. But in any event, we deal with pride all the time. We live now in a nation and in a society where people are actually proud of their sin. They are proud of their wickedness. I saw somebody do something yesterday evening, and it reminded me of something that I've wondered about for years. If you see a group, a picture, this wasn't a picture, this was, I actually saw somebody do this. See a picture of a bunch of people, and they're at a party or something, and there's drinking involved. Somebody, maybe several of them, are holding their alcohol up, they're holding their beer can, whatever it is, up like, what a great accomplishment I've made. That I'm drinking a beer, you know. We're proud of our sin. This is a month set aside to glorify pride and sin. But pride is always a sin. Pride leads to sin, and sin leads to pride. I think it's in my notes, and I wasn't going to go there. And more often I've been doing that. I keep jumping ahead in my sermon to give away something that... that I plan to say later. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust and pride always go together. Pride is a declaration of independence from God. is basically saying, I'm good enough on my own. I don't need God. We brag about our accomplishments. We brag about our situations. We can't be walking with God and walking in pride at the same time. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, we see the slippery slope that we're on. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21, says, because that they when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. That's pride there. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image, like corruptible man, into to birds and four-footed beasts, into creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, even through the lust of their own hearts. Once again, lust and pride always go together. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And even their women did change the natural use unto that which was against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Once again, pride is a declaration of independence from God. We see the wisdom of men. They said they professed themselves wise and they became as fools. Anytime we deny the knowledge of God, anytime we deny the wisdom of God, anytime we believe that our wisdom is greater than the wisdom of God, we are speaking as fools. Matter of fact, anytime we ignore the Word of God, we're behaving as fools. Now that applies to any of us. You know, we want to point this passage at those that are outside the Word of God, that are outside of grace. But anytime we ignore the Word of God, we are acting as fools. The wisdom of man is folly. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What happens when man declares his independence from God? We don't need to follow God. We don't need to serve God. We don't need to look to God for our salvation. We're all right on our own. It says it gave them up. Gave them up. He gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up unto vile affections. And then finally, He gave them over to a reprobate mind. The wisdom of man leads to the wickedness of man. God says, you don't need me. You don't need my grace. All right. I'll allow you to be as wicked as you choose to be. We see the wisdom man. We see the worshiping of nature that they start to worship the creature more than the Creator. We worship ourselves. We worship our society. We worship our sin. It is more abhorrent in our society now to be cruel to an animal than it is to be cruel to a human being. Don't get me wrong. I am not in favor of cruelty, you know, to animals. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we've come to worship nature. We worship the creation. We become a society of tree huggers. But we forget the one who's created the tree. We forget the one who died upon a tree. We see the wantonness of sin. We see the wickedness that has come from the wisdom of man. Doing the things that are unseemly, unnatural. Vile affections. I've seen here in the last week or so someone that said, you know, love is love. Love is love. And that's the mantra today. You know what? Lust is still lust. And sin is still sin. Don't confuse lust with love. Doesn't matter what type of lust it is. What you're lusting after, that is not love. Then we see the wretched aftermath. So God gave them up to do those things. God gave them up to reprobate mind. And what happened? They were filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceitful, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Turn on the news. This stuff is happening today. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. We see mothers killing their babies in the womb. Probably a little over a month ago, we all heard the story about the woman who was abandoning her kids in a park, and the little six-year-old boy grabbed a hold of the car, trying to keep his mother from leaving him, and she ran over him, threw his body off a bridge. Why is that? Because we've been proud. We've disallowed God in our society, and we've lost all natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We glorify the sin. We glorify the sinner. We are a nation that is proud of ourselves. We're proud of our sins. And we've declared our independence from God. But what is pride? It's devilish in its origin. Let's go to Isaiah. Now many people think the original sin was in the Garden of Eden when Eve was deceived and Adam was disobedient. And Satan tricked him. But the actual first sin occurred prior to that. And Isaiah gives an account of that in chapter 14. Chapter 14. Verse 12, O thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Let me stop there. People try to say, well, he's just talking about the king of Babylon here. No, he says Lucifer by name. Everybody knows who Lucifer is, right? You think we're not a nation that is not proud of our sin? There is one of Netflix's top series right now is a show called Lucifer. And I've never watched it, but apparently it's kind of supposed to be comical, and Lucifer is the main character, and I guess he's here on Earth or whatever. And I said, well, people say, well, how can you criticize it if you've never watched it? I don't need to watch something like that. I think it started on NBC a few years ago, and I was condemning it then, and then NBC canceled it, and Netflix picked it up, and I might be wrong about what network it started on, but in any event, Lucifer is a popular guy, apparently. In America right now. And you think we're not, in our pride, turned away from God? This being who was the first one that pride was found in his heart is being celebrated in our society. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. You know the problem in our nation? We're exalting Lucifer. Even those that are not, you say, you're exalting Lucifer. No, you're not. You're following after his actions. Because we are a proud nation, and we're glorifying sin. We're glorifying wickedness, and we've turned from God. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Let's just stop there. What is the origin of pride? The origin of pride is in the heart. Lucifer did not say with his lips, I will do these things. He said it in his heart. The problem with pride, it is a problem of the heart. This one I know Adrian Rogers said, the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. That's why it's so dangerous. It's within us. It's within our hearts to be proud. But it is not exalting God. It is exalting self. It is a, I will, I will, I will, I will. It exists in the heart. It exalts itself. We've already touched on that. It excludes God. And it ends in the execution of judgment. So thou art brought to the pit. This is where pride began. It began in the heart of Lucifer. This is one of his major weapons, even to this day. We said the original sin wasn't Adam and Eve, it was Lucifer. What did he do? He took that blueprint, took it to Eden, says, if you eat of this tree, you shall be as gods. That's the exact same sin that he had. He wanted to be as God. He said, my throne will be above the stars of God. He wanted to be higher than the rest of the angels. That's the stars of God. He says, I'll be like God. Then he told Adam and Eve, you will be like God. Whenever we succumb to pride, we're wanting to raise our throne. We're wanting to exalt ourselves. That was the first Adam. What happened to the second Adam? The same adversary, the devil, comes to him. He tempts him with the same things. The lust of the heart, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What did Jesus do? He resisted him. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The scriptures say, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Pride directly impacts its owner. When we are proud in ourselves, when we think we're self-dependent, it is an offense to God. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Once again, God resisteth the proud. That means we are fighting God whenever we're proud. It provokes a response. God humbles the proud. Anytime we walk so far and we get to the point where we feel like we really don't need God on this day, we really don't need God in this situation, God will show us how much we need Him. Pride proves our depravity. That same verse, 16:5. It says, to everyone that is proud in heart. Once again, this isn't a heart issue. It proves the depravity of our heart. It points out our impurity. Anytime we think we've conquered pride, we've succumbed to it. Beware, we think we stand, lest we fall. It prevents the dispensation of grace. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. When we are proud, when we're self-reliant, when we think that we are great, or even good, God will not give His grace to us. Now, that doesn't mean we're losing our salvation. But what that means is we're not going to get His help on this. We've already read 1 Peter 5:5. We won't go back to that. Let's go to James. Book of James and chapter 4. I always have a hard time for some reason finding James. It's kind of like sandwiched in between the epistles of Peter and Hebrews. Chapter 4. Verses 6 through 10. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Sounds like James and Peter are on the same page on this thing, doesn't it? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, the proud will never do that. They will never admit that they need to cleanse their hands or purify their hearts. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. In other words, let God raise you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. God is in contention with those that are proud, and He will not give grace to them. Pride promotes dissension. And my last statement kind of touched on that. Let's read a verse that backs that up. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. In other words, when we're proud, when we're unwilling to back down, and we meet someone else who is proud and unwilling to back down, there's going to be a conflict there, is there not? Pride promotes dishonor. Jesus said in Matthew 23, "Let us be abased. Let us be abased." Let's read that. Verse 11 says, "Let he that is greatest among you, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and that he shall humble himself shall be exalted." And then one of my mother's favorite verses, Proverbs chapter 16. Pride precedes destruction. Verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yet we live in a society that magnifies pride. It wants us all to be proud. That pride is divinely overcome by humility. Being humble is one of the hardest things. One of the hardest things we ever do. Like I said, I am constantly being humbled. I'm constantly being humbled. Things constantly happen that make me realize that I'm not all that. But all it takes is a little spark, and my pride swells up again. Pride is still a sin. And more pride leads to more sin. The only way to repentance, the only way to salvation is to draw nigh to God. To reject that pride that is so easily blossoms up. To realize that we are all sinners. We all need the Lord. We all need His grace. And He then will give grace to the humble. Would you stand? Would you admit to yourself and to God?